In 1940, Dr. J. Edwin Orr took a group of people to England. He was a professor at Wheaton College, and they wanted to go and visit some sites in England because they were doing church history and studying church history. And so Dr. Orr was with this group, and they went into this house in England, which was John Wesley's house, who is the founder of the Methodist movement. And when they were in the house looking, they were upstairs in one of the bedrooms, and they noticed in one of the bedrooms that there were imprints on the floor, and they were asking what those imprints were about. And they said that the imprints were allegedly where John Wesley would kneel and pray every single day. Well, the group was there, and they were looking at it, and they were inspired by it, of course. And as they were leaving, they were all getting back on the bus to head to the next location they were going, and one of the students was missing. And so Dr. Orr got out of the bus and went back inside and walked through the house trying to find where that student had gone, and sure enough, found that student in the bedroom on his knees in the same imprints where John Wesley supposedly had been praying. And Dr. Orr overheard his prayer, and the prayer went something like this. In fact, it went exactly like this. Lord, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And Dr. Orr sort of interrupted him and said, son, we need to go. The rest of us are on the bus. And that young man was Billy Graham. And 33 books later, and 80 million people later, he has probably led 5 million people to Jesus Christ. I would argue that his prayer was answered. What do you think? But you know, he was not the first one to pray that prayer, do it again. If you were to take your Bibles, and you don't need to today, because as we've already mentioned today, we're taking a break from our series, and we're doing something a little bit different. So if you're a guest, this is not a typical Sunday for us. We're actually taking an anniversary week, or we're taking a Sunday where we're stopping and looking back and then looking forward, because we've adopted the prayer, the same prayer that Billy Graham prayed years and years ago, that was prayed by a prophet thousands of years ago, and it's actually found in Habakkuk chapter 3, and it goes like this. Habakkuk was praying, and this was his prayer. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Repeat them in our day. I think this prayer that Habakkuk is praying is the same prayer that Billy Graham prayed. Maybe the same prayer that John Wesley prayed, a prayer certainly that I want to encourage us today to pray. What if you were to pray a prayer, Lord, do it again? Because you've seen and you've experienced or you've heard of how God brought healing into somebody's life, or you've seen or heard how God brought reconciliation in a marriage, or you've seen or heard how God has worked in the life of a single or a high school kid or an elementary kid who gave their life to Jesus Christ, finally understanding what it was all about. What if you prayed this prayer, do it again, Lord? What if I prayed this prayer, do it again, God? What if we as a church all together prayed the prayer, do it again? As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the opportunity to commit to this prayer at the very end of our time here today. And so this idea, this prayer, is an amazing prayer that we could pray. Now, this prayer found in Habakkuk chapter 3 is really a prayer that we've adopted, as I mentioned, a year ago, but we put a metaphor to it that would help us to understand exactly what we believe God wants us to do in our church family. And the prayer is entitled, or the metaphor is entitled, Echo, where we're asking God to echo through our lives into the lives of others around us. We're asking God to echo through our lives into our community. We're asking God to echo through our lives into our city and into the world around the exact same prayer. Lord, do it again. What a great prayer for us. You know, I want to just welcome all of our campuses that are joining us today, because we have many campuses, and you know that. We have the Springboro campus joining us, the Northmont campus joining us online, and all of you that are here in Centerville. And so why don't we, as we get looking at this prayer together, why don't we just by applause, would you just help welcome each other as we're together as one church in a variety of different locations online. It's great to have you with us today. This prayer in Habakkuk has two pieces to it, and what I want to do with you as we pause on this weekend and look back, and then we look forward to be inspired to what God is doing and will continue to do, we believe, as we pray this prayer. God, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Here's what Habakkuk says. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. How many of you, by raised hand in all of our campuses, would say, I have seen God do some amazing things in my life, or maybe somebody that you know, or maybe a family member? How many of you, by raised hand, would say, I've seen God do amazing things? Look around the room here at Centerville, all the way at the back of the balcony, all the way around. There's hundreds of hands that are raised. These are all stories that we could highlight, stories that you've heard today about how God is at work, how God is doing things in people's lives. And so today, what I want to do out of this prayer here is to start by echoing what God has done. Let me echo with you a couple things that God has done in our church family over the last year so that you can be inspired, that I can be inspired, that together we can be inspired and pray this prayer over the next year in 2020. You see, some of us have written on Facebook. James wrote, earlier this year, God asked me to read his word cover to cover, and I have learned and grown so much through this adventure. Isn't it great to know that the story that James is telling us in his life, that God has brought him to the place where he wants to read more of God's word, and it's really been a journey for him and expressed in a great way for him. Jen wrote, we've helped start a small group and have found such blessings in new friendships. I would tell you that if you're brand new to any one of our campuses, that if you're looking to get connected, the best way to do that is to get into a small group or to help form a small group so that you can get into relationships and you can find the blessings that Jen is talking about in her life here as she tells us her story. Rachel said, we were unsure we made the right decision for our family. But God continued to show us the many reasons why following in obedience is always better than our own plans. Anybody agree with that one right there, right? Following in obedience is always better than our own plans. Thank you, Rachel, for being willing to share your story with us through social media. There's so much that we could rehearse if we had the opportunity to hear from all of the stories that we have here in our church family and all the different campuses. It's absolutely amazing. Now, you know that this last year, we asked God to help us to launch a campus, and we've done that. We launched a campus in Springboro, and we've been talking about it and talking about it, and I hope you don't get tired of talking about it, because we have finally made a presence in that community, and some of you have been able to come and see that the campus down there, and if you haven't, I want to encourage you to go down there and take a look at that campus, as we have a permanent presence in Springboro now, and there are people that are starting to come to the campus because we're there in the community, and we've seen amazing growth in the last number of months as we've been launching and thinking about the launch, and God did all of that. And so our prayer today ought to be, Lord, do it again, right? It's absolutely incredible. Here at the Centerville campus, and those of you that come on a fairly regular basis, or you call Centerville home, that's all of you that are sitting here right now, we've been renovating the Centerville campus, right? And we're almost there. We've got a few more weeks to go, and most of the things that that you see and experience are done, but we've got some things behind the scenes that we haven't finished yet. But here we are, and the reason we've done this is because we want to make room for more. We want to make room for those that aren't yet at a place where they have found hope. And we want you to reach your friends and coworkers and neighbors so that they can find hope in their life. And that's so important for us. Not only that, we want to get ready for the next 20 years. We want to get ready for what God has for us for the next 20 years. And that's why we have done the remodeling here at the Centerville campus. And we've seen amazing things. Let me tell you something else that God has done. This is incredible. This is God, by the way. God has done this. 453 people this last year in 2019 said yes to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And you are very smart people, and you can do the math. That's more than one person a day who has given their life to Jesus Christ, who has finally understood that Jesus paid the penalty for them, and they surrendered their life to Jesus. That's absolutely amazing. Here's something else that God has done in the year 2019. We have served and impacted 3,103, catch this, elementary kids. Now, that's a lot right there, am I right? 3,000 elementary kids that we have impacted on all of our campuses. And shameless plug right here. If you're not involved yet with kids ministry, we'd love for you to get involved. We need your help. We've got so many kids that are coming. It's just absolutely exciting that God has done that. So many families are being impacted because we're having to be able to impact their kids. God has done that. We've also asked God to help us to impact this community. And so let me show you what we've done in the community over the last year. This is absolutely amazing. That in the community, God has helped us to address poverty. He's helped us to address healing and brokenness and literacy. Do you know there are people in our community that don't even know how to read, and we're addressing literacy in our community. Homelessness, hunger. There are people that actually have to stress about their next meal, and most of us don't even. They stress about where their next meal is coming from. And yet, we're addressing some of those needs in our community. We're addressing clothing, where people don't even have clothes or the proper clothes to go through a winter where it's getting colder and colder, to address addiction and restoration and racial divide and kids at risk. It's absolutely amazing that we're able to be a part of all of this. And God is at work in all of this. It's absolutely amazing. God is also at work in radical generosity. Because we said a year ago that all of this and all of what God wants to do in the year 2020 is going to cost us about $7 million. And let me tell you what God has done in 2019. It's absolutely amazing to me. In 2019, 56% of the commitments have already come in. 56% of the radical generosity that God has called us to as a church has already come in, and that amounts to $4.2 million of the $7 million. Isn't that awesome? That the generosity of God's people, and I just want to say thank you to you who have seen that as God has worked in your life, you've been willing to be radically generous, and lives are being impacted, families are being impacted, kids are being impacted, and the city is being impacted. It's absolutely amazing, and I want to say thank you to all of you who've been a part of this. Not only did Habakkuk say, "Lord, I've heard of your fame," not only was he talking about the things that God has done, but in this prayer, as he was praying, "Lord, do it again," he says this: "In our time, make them known. All the things that God has done in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." What a great word. Do you know, church, it's on our watch. It's on your watch. It's on my watch. That God wants to work in us and then through us. It's on our watch, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family, this community, and the world around. It's on our watch. And what Habakkuk is saying in this prayer right here is the second thing I want to focus on today, and that's this, that we not only want to echo what God has done, we want to echo what we are trusting God to do in the year 2020. Can I share with you what we're trusting God to do as a community of faith, as a church family? Let me show you what we believe that God is trusting us as a church family to do. The first thing is you know about, right? The first thing is that we're hoping to launch another campus in Beaver Creek. And some of you have made commitments to help us launch that campus. And if you haven't made a commitment and you're still thinking about it, we'd love for you to make that commitment and join us as we're in the beginning of the year starting to get together and have services the first week of January in order to prepare to launch that campus in Beaver Creek. But I got some great news for you about the Beaver Creek campus. You want to know about it? We found a home. I'm here with Nathan Jaeger, the campus pastor of our brand new campus at Beaver Creek. And right behind us is the high school where we're going to be meeting. We got the okay, and we're so excited about that. You know, we've never wanted to be a church who loses sight of the communities that are represented in all of you, all of us, as a church family.
What this building represents to me is more than just a building. It represents all the people who you know in this community who are going to find hope. We want to show up in this community to let people know that we are for Beaver Creek. We know Beaver Creek has been through some things even in the past with tornadoes, some political things, and we just want to show up as a beacon of hope so that all your friends, families, neighbors, all your connections here in Beaver Creek can find hope.
Isn't that great? We found a home in Beaver Creek. Beaver Creek High School has said yes, and so we're going to be meeting in their auditorium there, and we'll set up places for kids, and so we're excited about it. So we're trusting God that he would help us, that he would give us the strength, that we would have enough people, that we could launch this campus in Beaver Creek. Something else that we're trusting God for, and that's our kids ministry. Because of all the kids that I've talked to you about, and there's so many of them, thousands of kids, we're going to renovate the kids area here at the Centerville campus. We're going to renovate the kids area downstairs. Those of you that are part of the kids ministry, you know all the things that are happening down there. We're also going to renovate the kids area at Northmont because they too need a different space for it. Now, here's the interesting thing. As we looked at our kids' ministry, we discovered that to build another building would be so expensive. And so as we looked at it, we thought, what if we just move some walls? What if we take a few walls out and make the space just a little bit bigger? So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to move walls, and it's going to be a lot less expensive. We'll move the walls away so that we can have areas where kids can gather because we're running out of space here at the Centerville campus and at the Northmont campus, and we're going to do that. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to know about something that's happening in our kids' ministry. How many of you brought with you a cell phone? Can you just see your hand just raising up high? That's all of you. All of you have cell phones, right? And if you're a 20-year-old, you're already on your cell phone, so that's okay. So grab your cell phones with me real quick, all right? Take them out of your purses or your back pocket or whatever it is. And if you haven't already downloaded the Fairhaven app, we're going to clog up our Wi-Fi system here in all of our campuses. That's okay. Just would you download the Fairhaven app? Because I want you to see something that if you don't already have kids involved, you may know somebody that has kids involved. And it's really important that you understand this. If you download the app, what you'll notice when you launch the app is the second button from the left. Are you with me, church? Second button, you're not looking because I know some of you are downloading the app. That's awesome. That's great. Second button from the left, there's a little button there that says kids. And I don't think a lot of people know this, that if you press that button, that will launch videos that we are creating every single week for you families. And the reason we stopped doing Wednesday night ministry here is because we want you to do it in your homes. We want to empower the family. Now, we have Friday night things we're doing, and we have all kinds of events we're going to be doing for kids, so we're not going to be shying back from doing things with your kids because we want to get your kids. But if you look at these videos, you'll notice that these videos are actually the lesson on a Sunday morning or a weekend that we have in all of our children's ministry, and so that a parent can go with their kids and watch this video. And it's shot in a way that it's interesting for kids and it's fun for families. And you can watch this little video and it'll tell you exactly what to do and when to pause the video and go grab certain things and come back. And it's absolutely amazing. Tell everybody that you know who has kids and who may be looking for a place to connect because we're hoping and trusting God next year that we're going to be able to reach a lot more kids because we're going to be renovating those spaces. Let me tell you something else that we're trusting God for in 2020. We're trusting God to help us to continue to financially invest in local partners all through Dayton. There's so many, I can't even put on the screen for you. And these are all the partners that we have in the Dayton area that we are working with, either financially supporting or we as a church family are serving in some capacity in our community in order to help the community to become better in order that we might be able to share the hope of Jesus with people all throughout our community. Isn't that great? You see, we don't want to recreate things in this community. When we find great partners that are already doing a fabulous job, what we want to do is come alongside them and help to financially support them or support them through serving. And so this is what we're hoping to be able to do in a bigger way, even in 2020 in the year. So we're trusting God for that. And then there's one more thing that I'm really, really excited about, actually, and that's this. That in the year 2020, we're trusting God as a church family. You ready for this? We're trusting God in the year 2020 to be able to support an underground church in a country that I can't even tell you where it's at. And we have a couple that's going to come and be with us on a weekend in the spring, and I can't even tell you their names because we're online and it might be, unsafe for them. But we've asked them, what does it cost to support that church, that underground church in an area of the Middle East for one whole year? And they've said, this is what it's going to cost. And we've said, well, then we're going to pay for that. We're going to support that in the year 2020. Isn't that awesome? To be able to support an underground church in a country that I can't even mention to you. And so we're going to be a part of that. And so if you're here at Fairhaven and you've been here less than a year, let me make sure it's really, really clear. In fact, today, as we think about this prayer, that we want to echo what God has done, and that we want to echo what God will do, what we're trusting God to do, I want to make sure it's very clear that this vision that we believe God has given us has four simple pieces. And you may want to jot this down so you can think about them or talk about them in your small group, or you may want to jot these down so that you really understand what echo is all about when we're asking God through a simple prayer that goes something like this: God, do it again. Do it again. Here's what echo really is all about. Our echo is a desire to deepen our spiritual roots. How many of you would say, I want to be more like Jesus a month from now than I was a month ago? Anybody besides myself? I know I want to. I want to make sure that my attitudes and my desires and the things that I think about and the things that I struggle with and the things that you struggle with, that we want to deepen our roots. We want to, as a church family, we want to be able to have ministries that will help us to grow deeper. We want to be able to come and worship. I'm going to encourage you in 2020 to come every single weekend so that you can come and experience God in a way where your roots, your spiritual roots are deepened, so that when you experience suffering in your life, you'll be ready. You'll be more ready. And God can do incredible things. That's one reason why we're doing all of these things that we're talking about. Secondly, our echo is to help us to impact the next generation. I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about teenagers and 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if you saw that or not last week. Wall Street Journal put an article together from the Pew Research Institute that said that from ages 18 to 29, 42% of them today say they have no religious affiliation of any kind. I don't know about you, but I want my kids to find hope in Jesus. I want my grandkids to find hope in Jesus. I want your kids and grandkids. I want your nieces and nephews to find hope in Jesus. Anybody with me on that? We want to do that as a church. And short of sin, we're going to do everything we can as a church to impact the next generation. We want to be able to find 20-year-olds and have dialogues with them so that they can understand what hope is really all about. We want to make sure our teenagers have what they need in order to live life in a way where they can live for Jesus in a culture that is so counterculture to Jesus. Our high schoolers, church, are dealing with things that you and I never dealt with in high school. Am I right on that one? They're dealing with things that you and I never dealt with at all, and we've got to walk beside them. In fact, as you walk by a high schooler in any one of our campuses, if you see a middle school or a high school kid, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to grab their arm. It might be a little weird at first, okay, but just grab their arm, and here's what I want you to tell them. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to put your arm around them in an appropriate way and say, you know what, I'm with you. I want to walk with you. We stand with you as a church. I want you to grab their arm and give them $100. I don't know, maybe that'll help. Who knows, right? But just, I want you to impact these students because they have so much that they deal with that you and I have no idea. Church, we want to echo in order to reach the next generation and impact them in a huge way. Here's number three, if you're jotting it down. Our echo is to develop leaders within us. That's exactly why we're doing the series, by the way, Lead the Way. We stopped the series actually to have an anniversary and to be inspired, hopefully, by what God is doing and what God will do as we pray a simple prayer: God, do it again, do it again, do it again. And see, so as we're thinking about this, it's so important for us to understand that we want to develop leaders within us. We want to lead the way in our community. We want to lead the way in our families. We want to lead the way in our cities and around the world. And I believe we can. I believe that we can. Fourthly and lastly, our echo is to extend our reach. We want to make sure that every person gets the opportunity to hear about the hope and faith that we can have in Jesus Christ. That's why I want to talk to you about your friends. I want to talk to you about how you can begin thinking and praying about maybe the two people that God has placed on your heart. In fact, a tool that might help us today is this card that we gave you. Would you just take this card out with me, all of you and all of our campuses? We gave this card to you. And in the front of the card, you got to read the front of it. It says, echo his generosity. How many of you agree with me that God is extremely generous? Would you agree with that, church? He is generous in grace. He is generous with grace. He is generous in love. He's generous with his hope. He's generous with all kinds of things. And on the back of this card, this is an opportunity for you to respond. Let me start with the bottom. Would you look down there where it says pray? There's a little round circle there. And it says pray. At the top it says, I commit to pray. And underneath that it says, take time to pray about being part of Echo. Here's what I mean by being part of Echo. In fact, if you have a pen in your hand, why don't you just write it right underneath there. Do it again. Do it again. The skeptics told me that I don't think it'll work, but I'm going to try it anyway. I'm going to ask 1,000 of you if you would be willing to check that little circle and say, I'm going to pray that God will do it again. Could you imagine if 1,000 of us decide to pray, God, would you do it again? Would you do it again in my life? Would you do it again in our marriages? Would you do it again in high schoolers and in our community? I'd like to challenge you to put your name on here and to check that box to just simply say, I will commit to prayer, whether it's one time or whether it's every week or whatever your routine is. Would you be willing to commit? I'd love to see 1,000 people at Fairhaven commit to saying, I'll be willing to pray. God, would you do it again in the year 2020? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Right above that is the word share my story. Now, you have a story because you raised your hand and said, God did something in my life. That means you have a story. And what would it be like if in the year 2020 you began to think through two people, at least two, there's probably more, but just two people who you could begin praying for, where you could begin to have spiritual conversation with, where you could be able to share with them the hope that we find through Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about if you're an adult. I'm talking about if you're a high schooler, if you're middle school, and even some of you here that are elementary. You get the opportunity to share that. And so would you just check that and say, you know what? I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what God would want me to do, but I want to check the fact that I'm in. I'm in to share my story and just check that little round circle there and put your name in the bottom. And then I'll tell you what to do with it at the very end. And then the last one is, if you look at the top, it says give financially. We recognize that over a period of a year at Fairhaven here, we grow by lots and lots of people. Now, I told you this many times, we're not after growth. We're after health. And if we're a healthy church, you know what's going to happen? We're going to grow. And if you share your faith with other people, you know what's going to happen? We're going to grow, and we recognize that in 1 year, there are some of you that weren't here a year ago when we committed to being a part of Echo. And so we don't want you to miss out. We don't want you to allow this to go by you. We don't want this to be lost on you. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to just simply say, there's no place there to mark a number or a dollar amount, whatever it is that God was working in your life. This is a great way to start, by the way. If you're new to Fairhaven Church and you don't know where to start in your giving, well, this is a great way to do that. And so maybe you just want to check the little round circle that says, you know what, I'm going to commit to giving financially. No one's going to call you. No one's going to ask you about it. This is between you and God. What would it be like if 1,000 people checked a box or a circle and said, I'll pray. Lord, do it again. Can you imagine if all of us decided that we're going to share our story? Can you imagine the radical generosity that we've already seen, by the way? Could you imagine if we blow the door off that and we were able to do a lot more with maybe other churches in the world, maybe more things in the community, maybe more campuses? Who knows what God would have for us as we radically give to Him? Would you take this and put your name on it and maybe an email address, and then just fold it in half, and then you can drop it off in any one of the black boxes on all of our campuses, or even online. You can figure out how to do that online. Our hosts will be happy to help you to do that, or you can drop it off at the welcome desk. But here's what I want you to do today. Let's get it started. Would you just bow with me for just a minute? In all of our campuses, right here at Centerville, would you just bow with me for just a minute? And let's get it started. Would you be willing to just pray a simple prayer? Lord, do it again. Do it again. Father, I thank you I thank you for what you're doing in this church family. I thank you for what you're doing in individual lives and marriages and singles, high school students, elementary kids. And Father, we recognize that it's all about you, that God, you have done this. So Lord, we come today and we pray a prayer that Habakkuk prayed, and maybe John Wesley and Billy Graham. And we come to you today and we say, God, do it again in our lives, in our families, in our church. Do it again in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.